When you think of a Wisconsin farm, I'm betting that you think of corn, cows, or other crops that you pass when you're traveling the state's highways and byways. But I'm guessing that you don't immediately think of fish farming. But today we're going to learn about that industry and what it contributes to our state. Hi, I'm Judith Sears Poisson, in for Larry Mueller. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jim Held is an aquaculture specialist with the University of Wisconsin Extension, and he's here with some great information for us today. Jim, thanks for spending time with us.
You're welcome. Good morning, Judith. Glad to be here.
We're glad to have you here.
It's a fine, seemingly January morning out there.
I know.
But spring is coming.
It is coming.
And the fish are starting to spawn. The northern pike should have started this week, and they'll be followed by the walleye, the muskie, the perch. So it's a very busy time for Wisconsin fish farmers in getting their eggs, hatching the fish, and starting their production season.
So it's an exciting time of year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And they work very hard, long hours, just like any other farmer, spring and fall. In the springtime, you make your little ones, and in the fall, you harvest in your big ones.
And in between, you're taking good care of them.
You better. That really is important.
So we use the term aquaculture. Is fish farming the same thing? I mean, are they two different terms for the same enterprise?
Oh, it's pretty much the same thing. Aquaculture is really defined as agricultural production for aquatic animals and plants. And usually that means fish, but in some cases it could be shrimp or oysters or kelp or a variety of products. There are over 250 different species that are produced in aquaculture worldwide.
Wow.
And so it is a very diverse industry, and sometimes that works to our disadvantage because unlike chicken farmers or hog farmers, you know, they're all growing the same animal the same way. Mm. With fish, it's a bunch of different species, and they're grown in different types of systems at different temperatures, so it's kind of hard to organize a unified effort for things like legislative regulation and marketing, of course, is a very challenging part of it. Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point, because with all those different fish species, they're originally from very different environments and climates and microclimates, so the fish farmers have to replicate those conditions for each species of fish that they might be raising.
Absolutely. If you're growing fish outdoors in Wisconsin, you're probably not going to grow tropical fish. You have to find something that lives here. So you see northern pike and walleye and trout and perch. If you're depending upon where you live will determine what kind of species you can grow, although there are some things that you can do indoors in recirculation systems where you have a very controlled environment, and in that way you can produce a product that's maybe a little bit different, a little niche market availability.
I think I've heard that tilapia is actually being raised that way, right?
Quite a few people are raising tilapia. One of the rules of fish farming is keep the fish wet. That's really, really important. Except if you're raising tilapia. If you're raising tilapia, damp or moist is probably good enough.
Really?
They're a very hardy fish.
Huh.
And they're pretty hard to kill. So it makes sense that you could raise something like this. And if you can get a decent price for your product, having something that's locally produced, that's fresh rather than frozen, comes from right here in Wisconsin, that's something where a farmer can turn a buck.
So, obviously, agriculture of all sorts has been part of Wisconsin's history for a long, long time. I was actually surprised that fish farming has been going on in Wisconsin for over 150
years.
Over
100 years.
Wow.
We've had a long history of fish farming, and our industry is fairly diverse. We do produce food fish like trout and perch, but we also have a very strong bait fish industry and game fish industry that helps support the sport fishing and recreational industry here in Wisconsin. So it's a very important part of the picture. We also have a few ornamental producers for the aquarium trade. Hmm. So it's a widely diverse industry, and the bait fish industry is we're in the top five in the U.S.
Wow.
in bait fish production. So there's a lot of minnows being grown here. We're about ninth in the U.S. in trout production, so we have a very strong trout industry for food fish. And there are some very large trout farms here in Wisconsin. Most of the fish farms in Wisconsin are small mom-and-pop operations. There's about 80 commercial fish farms in the state, and of that, maybe a dozen or so are big operations. Okay. The rest are pretty small. But that's fine. You know, that's the kind of production that we like to see. We mm-hmm. don't want to particularly see commodity scale production. Mm-hmm. We want a very premium product sold directly to the end user. And that's where the farmer gets the best dollar and the end user gets the best value mm-hmm. because you're not taking whatever that commodity is and transporting it from Texas or Mexico or California to get it here. Mm-hmm. It's grown right down the block by somebody that you know. On crystal clear Wisconsin water, under highly controlled conditions. And that, those are the kind of things that the modern food market wants to see, that locavore movement of mm-hmm. local food economies. They want to see something that's grown right here in Wisconsin.
And we're going to delve into many of the things that you just mentioned, but I want to let our listeners know we are talking with Jim Held. He's an aquaculture specialist with the University of Wisconsin Extension. I'm Judith Sears Poisson sitting in for Larry Mueller. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. How aware are you of Wisconsin's aquaculture industry? What questions do you have about it? Maybe you have a question about what goes on a fish farm. I'm certainly interested in that. And maybe you're wondering where you can get that Wisconsin-raised fish that Jim's talking about. He'd be happy to help point you in the right direction. So you can call in at 1-800-642-1234. So, Jim, you said that most of the fish producers are the small, you said mom and pop kind of farms. Are they supporting themselves that way, or is that one part of what they're doing on their farm?
Many of them, many of them can support themselves with a small operation, but I think mostly it's a little side operation that's supplying fish to another farmer that's going to grow them out, or many times it's a fee fishing operation where you will have people come into your property and fish your fishing pond mm-hmm. and for a fee then be able to take the fish back.
And that was how I started fishing as a kid in the sure. Chicago area. We would go to a trout farm.
A lot of people do that. There's a lot of tourists that come into Wisconsin that don't want to invest in a boat and all the equipment and don't know anything about fishing, right. But they have $100 in their pocket and they want their kids to have a great afternoon fishing. And that's one way of doing it. It works very, very well. The other thing I'm excited about in a kind of a side branch of aquaculture is aquaponics. Mm. And that's something that really has the interest of the consumer and of the farmer, producing very premium vegetables using fish effluent. It's kind of like hydroponics mm-hmm. with soilless. You grow the plants in water, but instead of using petrochemical fertilizers and pesticides and herbicides, all you're doing is basically using fish poop. Mm-hmm. So you feed the fish poop in the water, that nutrient-laden water goes to the plants. The plants clean up the water and send it back to the fish. Mm-hmm. So the water goes round and round. It's very water conservative, and you're not dumping nutrients out into the environment. Mm-hmm. A nice closed system.
Which I think Growing Power in Milwaukee is I know they're raising tilapia.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think they're incorporating
that's
that
one of
material.
The things that Growing Power does. There's about 10 or 12 producers in the
really?
State now.
Wow.
That are doing it. There's a nice one in Baraboo called KP Simply Fresh, and Future Farm up in Baldwin is shipping about 300 cases of lettuce into the Minneapolis market. Well, that's a pretty good-sized production facility. But again, most of these are small scale. Mm-hmm. Maybe an acre under glass is about a family-run farm.
Okay. So an acre under glass. Okay, so that gives me a sense of the scale. In general, would you say the aquaculture industry is growing?
It's not contracting. I think we're okay. staying about the same. We've seen some decrease in sales due to some federal and disease issues that we've had in the past few years with viral hemorrhagic septicemia, VHS. and that has caused a decline a little bit in the bait industry.
Okay.
But it's bouncing back. I think that there's been a change in philosophy among the bait fish producers, and they've become much more aware of biosecurity and of producing a health-certified product that can go out into the lakes and not have a problem with spreading disease or invasive aquatic species.
Mm-hmm. So right now it's I don't want to say stagnant, but it's just kind of holding.
No, it's holding, and I think the food fish industry has expanded significantly. So that's kind of taking up a little bit of that vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And the production in food fish is up, I think by the last census, about 10%. So a pretty good increase in food fish sales.
So you mentioned that a small-scale fish farm might be about an acre under glass. And that just makes me realize I really have no idea what a fish farm looks like. What kind of equipment is needed?
There are several different ways that fish are raised here in Wisconsin. The most common is in ponds, and those ponds are usually a levee-type pond that's kept out of the aquifer.
Okay, so they're man-made.
Right, man-made ponds, typically about 1 to 2 acres in size for each pond, and a medium-sized operation might have 15 to 20 acres of water. These ponds are normally drainable so that you can get the fish back out.
Mm-hmm.
And
how deep might they be?
Well, depends on the species a little bit, but generally they go from 4 feet on the shallow end to maybe 10, 12 feet on the deep end. They're sloped rather rapidly, mm-hmm. so that you can get all the water out of
right.
the pond. On a hot summer day, if you're draining a pond, that water temperature can go up significantly
right.
and impact the fish that are still in
mm-hmm.
there. Unfortunately, when you drain a pond, all the water comes out first, and the fish stay until the very end.
Yeah.
So it's pretty hard to convince them to come out early.
You can't lure them out with
No, it's not very easy. Other ways fish are grown are in recirculation systems, which are all indoors, fish in tanks, and the water is passed through a biological filter to remove the ammonia, reoxygenated, and then sent back to the fish. So again, a very water conservative way
mm-hmm.
of doing things, although the equipment that's needed for that is a little more expensive. There's a pretty good capital investment,
mm-hmm.
So far, we're still working on
mm-hmm.
that needs some technological advances to really take hold. Fish are also grown in raceways, which are kind of flow-through ponds, like an artificial river.
Oh.
That's usually done for trout production or salmon production, where you have a lot of clear, clean, flowing spring water
mm-hmm.
that goes through the system.
Again, mimicking their natural habitat.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So you talked about them being under glass. So these ponds are not the closed system, but the more maybe traditional style ponds. Are they covered to prevent contamination, things like that?
Generally not.
Okay.
The ponds are open ponds. Under glass systems would be the aquaponics.
Okay.
It would be like a greenhouse.
Okay.
And fish aren't particularly happy out in the sunshine. So you'd keep your fish in tanks indoors, and then your plant beds would be out in the greenhouse.
Okay.
With ponds, most of the water source is either runoff or well water. You don't want to be taking surface waters and putting them into your ponds, and then you don't want to discharge your effluent to surface waters.
And that was my question. So when you do drain the ponds, where does that water go?
That water typically goes into a rip-wrapped area that allows it to go back into the aquifer. In most operations, there'll be a final collection pond that takes out most of the suspended solids and the fecal matter
mm-hmm.
and settles that out, and then the water drains back into the aquifer. So it's something that best management practices have been developed so that we're not sending nutrients out into the waterways, particularly phosphorus
mm-hmm.
around here.
And we're going to talk a lot about that in the second half today when we talk about lake water health.
Sure. Phosphorus is, because we have such hard water here, phosphorus is highly reactive.
Mm-hmm.
And that stimulates those big algae blooms. So in our best management practices, we want to try and reduce or eliminate as much phosphorus as we can. In many pond operations, the water going out is actually a better quality than the water coming in.
Wow.
Because those ponds have their own built-in sewage treatment plant. The bacteria break down the fecal matter and the excess food and everything else
mm-hmm.
and have it be absorbed into plants. So it's a really good way to try and control some of the effluents.
And what are the fish fed?
Fish are fed fish food, oddly enough.
Somebody goes out there and sprinkles a little flakes on the top?
Absolutely. Well, not little flakes, big pellets.
Okay.
But there are a number of companies that produce a formulated diet for fish, kind of like Purina Trout Chow. Mm-hmm. Used to be one of them. They don't make that anymore. But the Aquamax is one of the products. There's also a number of other companies. And in some species, you kind of have to train your fish to accept this formulated diet. Mm. Grown out as very small fingerlings that are eating zooplankton, little bugs in the water. Then you remove the fish from the pond, put them in a tank, and you feed them this formulated diet. And their choice is to either eat or starve or eat somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want them eating somebody else.
No, that's a really expensive way to raise fish. But we've been very successful with new diets and new techniques that we can get about 80 to 90% of the fish to train onto this formulated feed. And what's surprising is once they train onto it, they actually prefer it.
Hmm.
I've seen perch ponds where you've had just oodles and oodles of minnows in there, and the perch don't care a bit about it. They'd rather eat the pellets. So it's kind of surprising, and it supplies a fully balanced diet for the fish, so you get good growth, and that's something that you really have to have. If you're going to be a fish farmer, you can't just keep your fish alive. They have to thrive in that circumstance so that you can grow them fast and hopefully make some money.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Jim Held. He is an aquaculture specialist with the University of Wisconsin Extension, sharing some really important and interesting information about Wisconsin's aquaculture industry. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we are learning about Wisconsin's aquaculture industry from Jim Held. He's an aquaculture specialist with the University of Wisconsin Extension. And Bob in Oshkosh is on the line, so let's go there. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you doing? I want to know, I really want to applaud our governor and Kathy Stepp, the head of the DNR, for their new plans to set up that consortium with Canada, Michigan, and Wisconsin. That is going to close off Little Bay Dinant, Big Bay Dinant, and use it for commercial fishing. I want to really say that it's about time we get that something like that rolling in the Great Lakes to kind of lay there fallow with very little use, commercial use for them. What's your speaker's response to that? Thanks.
Sure.
I think that commercial fishing in the Great Lakes has really taken a hit in the past several decades, particularly because of the perch populations, and we really haven't had a good answer as to why those populations have declined, but the reality is the only place that there's a decent commercial perch fishery is in Lake Erie, and so aquaculture has tried to step in to use that as an opportunity to produce more fish for consumption, particularly for perch. I mean, when I was a kid and you went out to a Friday night fish fry, you had perch. That's the only thing you had. These days, if you can find perch, it's at a premium price.
Mm-hmm.
So perch has really been a significant source of fish for the areas around the Great Lakes, and we're very interested in continuing that. I think that on a worldwide basis, what we're seeing is a changeover from an economic philosophy of hunter-gatherers to more of an agricultural thing. For our last major food source, if you go into a grocery store, you won't find anything on the shelves that came from the wild except fish.
I hadn't thought about that.
That's the only thing that we take from the wild. You know, when's the last time you had a wild auroch or a wild jungle fowl? It just doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
And so we're seeing this changeover. In fact, in the last several years, aquaculture has actually outproduced the wild catch. The wild catch has been running around 80 million metric tons, and that's been stable since about 1998 or so. And in all those interim years, aquaculture has increased slowly but surely to finally, in 2012 or 2013, 51% of the fish that the world consumed came from farms. in 1965, and that seems like a long time ago, but it's really not.
It was the year I was born, so
right,
it's really
right.
not
well,
that long ago at all.
I was in second grade. Only 5% of the fish that the world consumed came from fish farms.
Really?
So it
that
really
is a huge
has
change.
Changed.
Wow. Well, thanks for that call. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Cheyenne Lenz, our on-air producer, will be happy to get your call queued up for us. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. So I think it's good to kind of talk about, I think on a global level, and I might be wrong, but I think that sometimes from what you've described about the Wisconsin aquaculture, it's pretty separate from the natural environments, and there's not a lot of risk going back and forth because they're contained and because the water that is coming out of the fish farms is being cleaned up, for
Correct.
Lack of a better word, before it's being put back into the aquifer. But I'm not sure that on a global scale that's true. And I know that there have been concerns in the past about, for instance, the excess feeding of farm fish in other parts of the world affecting the natural populations, or things like antibiotics being put in. So tell us what you can about that on a global level, but then tell us whether that's a concern or not in Wisconsin.
Sure. The big player in the global market is China. China produces about 40 million metric tons of fish, of aquacultured product. That's 96 billion pounds of aquacultured product. And basically, they're feeding most of Asia with that product. Unfortunately, there are many places in the world that don't have the same kind of resource protection laws that we do, and China is among them. Laos, Vietnam, Southeast Asia in general has pretty loose laws when it comes to what you can have in your effluent and what kind of therapeutic drugs you can use on your fish. Here in the U.S., for most species, we're allowed to use water and ice and salt. And that's about it.
Really?
We have one antibiotic or two antibiotics that are available for trout. We have one spawning hormone that we can use to stimulate egg development. And other than that, we just don't use any therapeutics.
And you said that's nationally
yes.
in the U.S.
Yes,
wow.
Absolutely true. Unfortunately, what that means is that if your fish gets sick, they're probably all going to die.
Right.
Right? So you have to have a very, very proactive management scheme. You really have to be ahead of the power curve in order to keep your fish healthy. And one of the things that surprised me when I found out about it, fish don't die from disease. It's very rare. The kind of diseases that fish have are always in the water. The bacterial infections of Columnaris and Aeromonas are always there. And the fish have antibody responses that can resist that unless they're put under stress, unless they're put into a situation where they don't have proper nutrition or poor water quality or too much light. You know, so it's a lot of these proactive things that you do to try and keep your fish from getting sick, because once they're sick, you're really, really in trouble and you can start over.
So it sounds to me like domestically raised farmed fish probably have, there's probably a lot lower chance that there are a lot of things added to them than in pretty much any other kind of product that we're buying.
Absolutely true.
Wow.
There's very little that's added to the fish. And the other thing that are domestically raised farmed fish, the advantage is that they're small, they're young, they grow very fast. If you compare them to a wild-caught product that's typically very large, old, fatty fish that tend to bioaccumulate things like PCBs and heavy metals, and you just don't find that in aquaculture. The Alaska Wild Salmon Board has really done a great job of propaganda promoting wild salmon, and I don't have a problem with wild salmon. I eat wild, I eat farmed, but at the expense of farmed-raised fish, and what they're saying just isn't true. Farm-raised fish are just as good, if not better, and lower in those types of pollutants than the wild-caught product. The fact of the matter is that virtually all of the wild-caught and farm-raised fish are very far below what FAO would say are tolerable levels for heavy metals and PCBs, except for certain species, things like shark and swordfish and tilefish and king mackerel. Those I would tend to avoid. They're big, old, fatty fish that tend to bioaccumulate.
And none of those are being farmed in Wisconsin.
No, we don't have any of that here.
Actually, we do have several people who want to join in on the phones, and I will go there in a moment. But I wanted to make sure I don't forget this point. So we've been talking about fish being farmed in kind of separate and self-contained ponds, or like you said, the whole closed system. Are there any fish that are being farmed in Wisconsin that are actually housed in, say, a lake or a Great Lake? You know, are they there, or are they all removed from that?
There's been discussion of having net pen operations, particularly in Lake Michigan or Lake Superior, and I just don't think that's going to happen here, at least not for quite some time. Typically, those net pen operations have not been ecologically sound, particularly the nearshore net pen operations.
Okay.
You know, so you have this, it's like having a big feedlot.
Right.
There's a lot of potential for disease and a lot of extra nutrients that are going into the water.
Right, because it's completely permeable, right?
Right, exactly. So you're not going to see that here, I think, not for a long, long time.
Okay, very good information. Let's go back to the phones and Mary in Milwaukee. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. You kind of touched on my point I wanted to make, but I'm just wondering, you said they don't use a lot of growth hormones and antibiotics, but is that apply also to the fish that are fed the food in the tanks, the hydroponic-type foods? Are those free of the growth hormones and the antibiotics and stuff as well?
Yes, there's none of that that's put into fish food. They do add vitamins and minerals to give a complete nutrition, but there is no added antibiotics or hormones or anything like that put into fish food. Now, there is one bit of an exception, and that's in finishing foods for salmon to give it that pink color. They'll use a product called astaxanthin, but it's a chemical, but it's not really bad for you. In fact, it's the very same thing that you go to the health food store for and buy krill oil.
Oh, really?
It's a very, very powerful antioxidant and quite expensive. So that when you see pink salmon in the store, that fish hasn't been dyed that color. It's been fed this antioxidant to turn it that color.
So it's kind of like the pink flamingos turning pink because they eat the little shrimp.
Exactly the same chemical, exactly the same thing.
All right. Thanks for that call. And let's go back to the phones and Judy in Lodi. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I have a question. I lived near a small lake. It was self-contained. And it wasn't just that one. It was all the surrounding area ones that they had those carp that would jump out of the water, that also ate the smaller fish, like your perch and your bluegills and stuff like that. How did they ever get into the lakes? The small little, you know, like this was Crystal Lake and Mud Lake. They were, you know, it was, and then also I did a survey around with a canoe, and there was all the overflow from the farms were going into these ponds or these lakes. And you were talking about there's no extreme minerals put in. I did a survey and then we found mercury, iron, all kinds of chemicals in the lakes. What's going on?
Okay, great.
And also those fish also are in Lake Michigan because my uncle was an avid fisherman and he quit fishing because of it.
So are those the Asian carp that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, those
okay.
are the ones.
Okay, so I think a couple different issues here. So the Asian carp, and also I think Judy's talking about conditions in natural lakes, and she's talking about the things that have been found in natural lakes, but we're really talking about fish that are being farmed in non-natural lakes, man-made lakes.
Right, but it is a real concern, and unfortunately, there are lakes in Wisconsin that have relatively high levels of natural mercury, and so that is a concern. It's kind of ironic that she talks about the Asian carp, the number one farmed fish in the world.
Carp.
Asian carp by China. 20 million metric tons of Asian carp are produced. It's the number one eaten fish in the world. And it's causing us some problems because it's an aquatic invasive.
Right.
And it doesn't really eat the little fish. It's a planktivore, so it eats the food that the little fish need. And so it is a real concern, and I don't know that we have a real answer for that yet. That fish has slowly been working its way up the Mississippi. I think the initial releases and escapes were in Arkansas.
But I think it's been detected as far north as Illinois at this point.
Yes, yes. It's certainly in Illinois, and they have some environmental DNA evidence that it may be in Lake Michigan, although we haven't found any fish yet. And I'd be surprised if it's in any inland lakes, that particular species. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's only a matter of time. That's the real problem with aquatic invasives, is once they get into a system, they're really, really hard to get out.
Terrestrial invasives are hard enough, but aquatics are a whole different.
Aquatics are almost impossible. Yeah. If you look at the zebra mussel and the quagga mussel and things like that, or Eurasian milfoil, how do you get rid of it?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
So the self-contained ponds so far have not been affected.
We've not seen any releases of aquatic invasives from any fish farm in Wisconsin. We haven't found any presence on any fish farm in Wisconsin. And it's something that the fish farmers take very, very seriously, because if you're stocking 20 or 30 different lakes out of your hatchery and you have some kind of an invasive, the spread could be rapid and disastrous.
Right.
So they have HACCP plans in place that inspect their loads of fish to make sure they don't have any of these invasives.
Thanks, Judy. Let's go back to the phones and Betsy in Ripon. Hi, Betsy.
Hi. You've been answering some of my questions, but one is the with the internet, and it's with the tilapia, not grown in Wisconsin, but the ones in China that are overtaking the market, and that they have, for example, the chicken. And they're on grates, and the grate poop falls, and it falls into the tilapia. Gradually, all of their excrement falls into the tilapia being a ground feeder, and hardy eat this, and it's a big concern for health. I wondered about that, and I also wondered about, do we farm any Atlantic salmon? I know we don't in Wisconsin. At least I don't think we do.
Well, actually, we're running a little short on time, so let me let Jim address both those topics.
Sure. It's certainly unfortunate that places like China that produce so many fish do tend to have much relaxed regulations when it comes to particularly fecal matter, and not just chicken feces, but also human feces that is used to fertilize the ponds. Now, the fish don't directly eat that, but the feces breaks down into nitrogen and phosphorus and produces algae and zooplankton that the fish will eat. The reality is you have to be a smart consumer. We have laws in place for fish that are in the grocery store that tell you if it's farm-raised or wild-caught and what country it came from. If my fish is coming from China, well, that raises a red flag with me. I don't buy fish from China. I don't mind having South American fish. Chile is some very fine product. Ecuador, Central America, Europe, those kind of places. Indonesia is a good source, surprisingly, because it's in that Southeast Asia area, but it's pretty much run by the Germans. And the Germans are very, very concerned about what they eat. So be an informed consumer. Buy farm-raised fish, particularly from the U.S., or countries that you tend to trust.
Mm-hmm. And actually, Tammy in Onalaska has a great follow-up to that. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, I really am enjoying hearing about the local Wisconsin fish farmers, but I never see it in the store. Where do I go?
Oh, you'll see it in the store, although it may not be marked as such. I know that Rushing Waters, a big trout producer over in Palmyra here, has its product in the stores, the Roundies chains, the Cops, Pick and Save, and they're actually a featured brand name in those stores. So look for Rushing Waters trout, and you'll know you'll be getting Wisconsin farm-raised fish. Other sources can be found on the website of the Wisconsin Aquaculture Association. That's wisconsinaquaculture.com, one word.
And we actually have a link to that and to some recipes from the Cook's Corner up on the Facebook page.
Some great recipes, and it'll give you the names of the producers in your area where you can get Wisconsin farm-raised fish.
And we are running a little short on time, but there in the consumer guide that's provided there, it also talks about asking questions. You know, if you, one of the options is buying direct from a fish farmer and asking, you know, how are they raised? Where is the water coming from? How are you returning the water to the aquifer? What chemicals are you using on the farm? I mean, really getting to know your producer.
Absolutely. And Wisconsin farmers will be proud to tell you how they're raising their fish.
And let's take one more call. Steve in West Allis has a question. Hi, Steve.
Hi. How are you folks doing?
Doing well.
Just wondering, that's good. Just wondering, like home chicken coops, can you do a home fish little pond or something like this?
Sure, you can.
Curious if this is something you could do at home.
Sure.
This is something that you can do on a small scale at home. Typically, about the smallest pond I would recommend might be about a quarter acre, but you can do fish in tanks, and aquaponics operations are prime for using at home in a hobby scale system where you raise the fish in tanks and you raise some vegetables too, and you know, you get a meal every week out of your fish tank. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Wow, that would be great.
The one thing to keep in mind is you want to make sure you get your fish farm registration so that you can buy the fish from a reputable fish dealer here in Wisconsin.
And actually, I mean, it's good to know we've been talking a lot about the fish that are going direct to consumers. We've also talked about bait fish. A lot of the fisheries around the state are the DNR, the university, tribal ones too. So what goes on? Are they producing fish that then go to, say, fish farming operations?
Generally, the DNR is producing fish for stocking out into the lakes of the state. So those go out into state waters. The university works particularly with some of the commercial growers through the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility up in Bayfield. That's one of the UW-Stevens Point outreach centers, and it does a great job of, and people can visit that anytime. You can show up in Bayfield. It's quite a drive from Madison, and it's.
But we have listeners all over the state.
Sure, it's right just about at the end of the road, the farthest northern tip of Wisconsin, up by the Apostle Islands. You'll find the Northern Aquaculture Demonstration Facility. And they have tanks and ponds and raceways, and show you just how fish are raised, and a wide variety of fish, things like Arctic char, and lake herring, and hybrid walleye, and perch, and catfish, and all kinds of different things. Somebody asked earlier about Atlantic salmon. We do have an Atlantic salmon producer here in the state. Just getting started, and seems to be doing a pretty good job of it. There's a lot of those little niche things. We have a couple of shrimp producers, and so it is kind of interesting to see the wide variety of things that are raised in aquaculture here in Wisconsin.
Well, this has been really interesting, and I'm so glad that you could join us today. Jim Held is an aquaculture specialist with University of Wisconsin Extension. Thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
And coming up next, we are going to take a little wider view. We're going to talk about lakes and other water resources around the world and the challenges that they are facing with climate change. And then we are going to bring it back to Wisconsin and find out what the challenge is here. I hope you'll stay tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.